All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it. Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Does anybody know any good ghost stories? Well, I have a few I'd like to share. Let's start off with a few well-known ones. Maybe a ranch or two that you've never heard of. The old folks used to tell ghost stories to little kids as an example for why you don't go out at night. Why you don't answer that door that's being knocked on 3 times. For why you don't play with the things God told you not to. You don't mess with things and forces that are out of your control. But some do anyways. You see, kids, these stories are used as a cautious tale to those unwise souls who tempt the powers of creatures that are just beyond your understanding. There are entities just beyond the normal sight that are just waiting for your curious minds to open the door to caution and to throw it to the wind. Unfortunately for some, once you've pierced the veil between our reality and theirs, well, let's just say you could never be too cautious.
Thank you.
Today I want to read to you an article from the Mysterious Universe. Within this article, we're going to talk about the haunted ranches that are known, maybe unknown, within these United States. And let it be a cautionary tale for those of you entrapped in the realm of possibility that you think is a good idea to go to some of these places and to meddle with things you do not understand, nor that you know how to truly comprehend how to stop. In the side effects of visiting Skinwalker Ranch, it is most noted that there are traveling spirits that follow people home, hitchhiking spirits, as some would say. There have been an unfortunate amount of deaths involved around Skinwalker Ranch and the people who have visited this heavily dark area. Heavily dark because of ancient witchcraft, Native American witchcraft, modern day witchcraft, government conspiracies, alien visitations, poltergeist entities that come out of the just realms in the ground that just open up. There are numerous amounts of actual credited psychologists, chemists, physicists, men of doctoral education within the realm of science, to include the United States government for 20 years, that have been drawn to Skinwalker Ranch in a way that I would say is very dangerous. Of course, you got to understand, to some people, this is an exciting new world. It gets outside the basic norms of politics. It gets outside of the everyday 9-to-5. People get bogged down in their life and they look for something new and exciting. That's why people go bungee jumping, swim with the sharks, and they go skydiving. Or like me, they crawl through caves and places where a man my size generally shouldn't be able to get into. But there's a whole nother realm that's out there. One that we, what some would say, would be forbidden to go to. And others would say, you're forbidden, but not me. I, like many others, have my interests piqued. When we talk about paranormal activity, parapsychology, psychokinesis, psychoenergetics, I find it all to be very interesting. Of course, I'm also a fan of the scientific method and going out and doing your best to analyze, document, and maybe even try and debunk some of these things that people call paranormal. Of course, there are natural things that appear to be paranormal. And then there is the other, the unnatural. There are just, as I've said before, things that we probably should not mess with. Bob Bigelow of the Bigelow Industries and his NIDS research group, when they purchased Skinwalker Ranch, they purchased it because there was an ad in the paper of people that were seeking help. Their family, as they described, were being haunted. This haunting, this trickster spirit, would hide objects of the family. You would hear disembodied voices, poltergeist activity where the wife of the rancher, she was putting up a bunch of groceries and took her, 30, 45 minutes to put up everything. And by the time she turned around, all of her groceries that she had put up in the cabinets and the refrigerator were all neatly stacked back into the grocery bags. At some point, this can be very frustrating. A hairbrush goes missing there, winds up in the microwave. You would have an auger bit that would go missing, and it would end up stories high in a tree. One can be driven mad by the forces of something unseen. Now, this Mormon family that went out to Skinwalker Ranch trying to escape out of the cities and the suburbs was a very well-to-do family, a very well-liked family. They were members of the Latter-day Church. And say what you want, they were an upright people. The father, the rancher, had a degree in farming. He was well known for artificial insemination, for his Simmental cattle, which always came to always give him a pretty good price. And then things just started to unfold rapidly within hours of being on this ranch. This 400-acre ranch that they had purchased, located in the Uinta Basin of Utah, an area that was already well known for the lore of the Skinwalker. Now, the ranch wouldn't assume this title, Skinwalker Ranch, for some time, but within just days, hours, of moving all their cattle, moving all their personal belongings onto the ranch, they had a visitation from what was known as the Bulletproof Wolf. This wolf, if one would look at a diagram of ancient history, would be more akin to the once known dire wolves, a animal that had roamed America and the plains of America almost 10,000 years ago. This wolf would have stood probably chest height to the normal man, as the one that appeared in front of the ranchers did. The wolf had a very cautious but mild behavior. Nothing really seemed to be out of the norm. People actually there, the mother, the wife, thought that maybe somebody had lost this giant pet wolf. Maybe they should try and contact some of their new neighbors to see if their animal went missing. Shortly after stroking the animal's fur, physically touching it, this animal then appeared to have an erratic behavior, and it went for a bleeding calf that had its head stuck in between the bars of a cow pen, grabbed it by the muzzle with its teeth, and sank in. And as the warm blood started to pool over the fangs of this giant wolf, the family knew this was very, very intense, strange, and if we don't do something right now, we're going to lose this calf. So all this emotion started to build up at once. The father started to kick, started to hit, punch, grab, anything to remove this giant wolf from this poor innocent little calf that could bring him thousands of dollars in just a matter of a year or so. Protecting his livestock is one of the number one key factors of being a good rancher. Naturally, his instincts kicked in. And after his failure of trying to remove the wolf by force of fist and foot, he told one of his sons, "Go grab my Magnum." The son disappeared inside the house and came running out, handing his father his .357 Magnum. A few shots later, the wolf finally let go of the calf and stared the rancher right in the eyes as he slowly walked away. Not a whimper, not a drop of blood, just the cold, dead stare of this giant wolf. The father knew that something wasn't right. He said, "Go get my rifle." And after the son returns again with a high-powered rifle, the wolf being about 40 yards, the father struck one and then another, rounds impacting in this wolf's broadside that should have killed any animal walking in North America right now. And all the wolf did was a little whimper, and then a tuft of fur flying off, and then that stare, that knowing stare, that you have no idea what you just started. This was among one of the first experiences that this family had. And if anything, is one of the least scary. They had dogs that would bark at the red and blue orbs that would harass the cattle. After a period of time, the rancher had had enough of it. They'd had cows gone missing. Cows had been mutilated. These orbs would circle the home at night, imprisoning the family in their home. One thing to be noted, though, when they purchased this home, it already had bars on the windows, huge locks on the doors, large chains on either side of the home where large guard dogs were posted. Evidently, something was happening before the ranchers moved on. And it is to be noted that whatever was there, the dogs could sense it. The NIDS research team would actually continue the use of canines as a extra sensory animal, kind of a early alarm system for the paranormal activity. Imagine laying in bed at night and you see a blue fog moving across your window, an ominous orb that looked more like a see-through basketball with splashing water and lightning bolts in it, staring back at you. And all you feel is the grasp of fear across your throat and your chest. The manifestation of these orbs is one of the most well-known and well-documented experiences in the world with the paranormal research groups that would study the activity of orbs. It's been caught on videotape several times where these orbs can manifest themselves out of nowhere and dissipate just as quickly. These orbs have been documented creating crop circles, harassing people, or to be seen fleeing the scene of a mutilated animal. Little did they know, though, just how truly dangerous these orbs were. In one experience, after being on this ranch for several months, being harassed day in and day out, not being able to sleep, missing cattle, family is tense. So tense that at one point in time, the best thing for the children was to just leave the ranch. And then comes the orbs, harassing the cattle again, chasing them off cliffs, killing the unborn. So many strange things. And with my personal experience with cattle, they're a very hardy animal. But with the herd mentality, I can see the panic that would happen with this rancher as he watched his herd being harassed by a force that just as quickly could appear and disappear. There's no real way to stake out and protect them, but he did. Many times the rancher would hide in hay bales as the orbs would pass by looking for him, knowing that he was around watching them. Many times the rancher would actually film them. Eventually he got tired of filming and documenting. He started to take his rifle with him and thought, to hell with this. I'll put the crosshairs on one and take it down myself. All with a futile effort. He couldn't stop them. The orbs could project fear in a way that could almost stop a grown man in his steps. There's not many things out here in this world that can do that to a trained man who's willing to protect his family over anything, especially while there's a gun resting in his hands. But these entities, these orbs, who knows just exactly what they are, what they could do, where they came from. But we do know, based off of this documentation, that they can kill. One night, while sitting on his back porch, the rancher was enjoying the evening, enjoying his cattle dispersed amongst his land, watching them fatten up, enjoying the fruits of his labor. It is quite a successful feeling when you see a nice big fat herd of cows, knowing that all the things that you've done all winter, all summer, taking care of them through the blizzards whenever they decide to start calving, taking care of them through the thunderstorms when you're having to herd them all together and you find every last one of them, and to have a moment of rest where you can just enjoy watching them eat. I understand that experience. I've lived that emotion. But one thing I've never experienced is what happened next. Three orbs appeared, circling the cows like sharks as they started to dart in and out of the herd, scrambling the giant animals in every direction, scattering them across the field. This put a panic in the rancher. The dogs started to snarl, hair standing up on the back of their necks, and he said, to hell with it, go get them. The dogs were loosed. As the dogs sprinted towards the orbs, a terror gripped the rancher as the orbs saw the dogs, noticed them, felt them. The orbs started to come towards the dogs now and led a merry chase through the woods up into the tall cotton tree grove as they disappeared into the marshy land. I'm reminding you, it's nighttime. All the rancher could see was a dog sprinting in the distance and barking, and the faint blue glow of the orbs traveling through the trees. And then it stopped. And then the screaming started. The dogs were panicking, whimpering. It sounded like if someone was butchering them, like if some giant monster was tearing them limb from limb. The rancher panicked. He grabbed his son, he grabbed their guns, and he said, we gotta go. Off to the woods they went, trampling over the terrain. When they finally found themselves in the grove of the tall cottonwoods, the orbs were gone. The smell of burning meat was in the air, and the only thing remaining were three smoldering piles of meat where the dogs had been pulverized. You would think that stories, that actual historical accounts of the danger that can be found in these types of places, whether sought or unsought, would scare enough people into having good enough sense to know something's just better to be left alone. Now, the rancher and his family could not stay at this ranch anymore. They were terrified. They were mortified. They were on a verge of an absolute emotional breakdown. And there were very many other things that happened. We've only talked about the orbs. We haven't yet talked about the UFOs and the portals that would open up, the poltergeist activity, the strangers who would show up on their land trying to communicate with whatever forces were there. One story that sticks out in my mind would be the Predator story. Now, this is another thing that's well documented, but apparently has never been really replicated. There was a man, a tall man, who traveled out to this ranch, and he told the rancher and his son that all he wanted to do was to go out into the field and meditate. The rancher said, "You're absolutely crazy. Get off my land." The man persisted. The rancher insisted not to do what he wanted to do, that he had no idea what he was asking for. But the son thought it amusing, so he convinced the father, "Let's watch what happens." So, after being granted permission onto the ranch, the man drove out to a field while being accompanied by the rancher and his son. And he walked out into a field and started to meditate. The rancher thought that this was no longer amusing, getting highly annoyed. The son thought it was one of the funniest things he had seen because he knew what was going to happen. As the cool wind blew across the stranger's face, as he meditated, closing his eyes, quietly sinking deep into his thoughts, there was a violent crash through the tall cottonwood trees. The son saw it first, then the rancher saw it next. And there was a giant, amorphous object. Something that could bend light around it, but looked huge. The accounts from the son of the rancher was this thing must have been 8 feet tall, sprinting towards the stranger, quietly meditating, not a clue of what was heading towards him. And within seconds, being almost 60, 70 yards away from the cottonwood trees, whatever this was upon him. The sound that this creature, this entity made, was of a roar that was a mixture of beasts, akin to a lion's roar, but something deeper, primal, guttural. It screamed right in the man's face. The rancher honestly thought the man was about to die. They sprinted towards him, and just as quickly as their feet started to make the pebbles fly, creature was gone. The man was on the ground. When the rancher showed up to him, asked him if he was all right, this giant of a man jumped up and grabbed the rancher, embracing him like a scared child would a parent. It took the rancher almost all of his strength to peel the stranger off of him. As the stranger said, "Please get me off this property," the rancher had to look him in the eye and said, "If you don't let go of me, I'm going to hit you." More counts than are probably accountable like this have happened on this ranch and many other places across the United States. Now, once again, we have only just scratched the surface of what is Skinwalker Ranch. But I would like to share with you some other places. In the article, Mysterious Universe, we have with us accounts of mysterious haunted ranches of the American wilds. There are many haunted places in this world, ranging from the usual haunted houses to all manner of places, including hospitals, schools, shipwrecks, beaches, and many, many more. It seems there is no limit to the types of places that may be infused with these ghostly forces and high strangeness. And here, we will look at some very haunted ranches lying out in the remote, bleak wilds of the United States. These are places tucked away from the rest of the world at large, often with colorful histories, and invaded by forces from beyond the veil of our known reality. If you're liking this content so far, please make sure to like, share, and subscribe. And always, make sure you visit AmericanVindictaShow.com. Thanks for listening. One supposedly haunted ranch that seems to be a wellspring of paranormal activity is located in the Badlands of rural central Texas, called Three Partners Ranch. It and the 3,000 acres of land that it sits upon were acquired by three cowboys named Johnny Way, Mike Richards, and Bobby back in 1995, with the plan being that they would rent the land out to hunters as a business. However, shortly after moving in, they would claim that they were accosted by all manner of paranormal activity. Indeed, from the very first night, they were kept up by an extremely loud and apparently angry unseen entity that would bang on the walls, throw things around, drag furniture across the floor, making odd whistling noises, and stomp through the halls with heavy footfalls. Johnny Way, one of the cowboys, would say of the intrusions, sheer noisiness of the apparent spirit, that this thing, whatever it is, it was almost as if it would not let you rest. It was almost as if it wanted to keep you up all night. Just about the time you would doze off, it would hit the wall. And when I say it would hit the wall, I mean it would clobber it. This was heard by all of the men, and they would then go to experience numerous incidents of other strangeness. On one occasion, Way was out in one of the outbuildings when he heard his name whispered from the dark, and things would only gradually intense from there. One evening, a shadowy figure was seen sitting on the edge of one of the men's beds. shortly after which one of the men, Mike, would be seemingly attacked by an apparition with his leg experiencing intense pain and some unseen force holding him down. Indeed, Mike seemed to be particular to be targeted and tormented by the spirit during their time there. Of the entity on the bed, Way would say, "It had to be like 2 or 3 in the morning. The side of my bed smashed down, like someone had stepped on the side of it with their foot or sat on the side of it, which really scared me because he had never done that before." The phenomena would be witnessed by visitors to the ranch as well, such as Mike's sister, who visited one evening and also heard the raucous spirit, as well as a whistling, howling noise that purportedly continued for hours. The TV show Unsolved Mysteries did an investigation into the three partners' ranch, bringing in a parapsychologist, Mr. William Roll, who managed to record many of the loud noises as well as strange magnetic fluctuations in the house and on the land. He would speculate that the magnetic disturbances were causing hallucinations in those who lived there, and that the loud sounds were caused by the shifting of great limestone slabs underground. For their part, the three witnesses claimed that this was no natural phenomena, and that they were being accosted by some ghastly force. What was going on at Three Partners Ranch? To this day, no one really knows. In our next story, this ranch is nestled out in the sun-scorched moonscape of the desolate deserts of Nevada, where the Bonnie Springs Ranch, in more recent years, is stylized mostly as a tourist attraction, but with a long and interesting history. The land once belonged to the native Paiute tribe, before the ranch had its beginnings in 1843, when it was created as a stopover point for wagon trains making their way west along the old Spanish Trail. In 1952, the land was bought by Bonnie McGaw, who began turning it into what it would become eventually, creating a miniature railway, a zoo, a restaurant, a wax museum, a hotel and a saloon, and an artificial ghost town designed to fully replicate a mining town in the 1800s. All in order to make the ranch somewhat of a tourist destination. The end result is a place seemingly frozen in time, where visitors can somewhat experience what it was like to live back in the days of the Wild West. And it's perhaps this atmosphere that has contributed to talk of ghosts and hauntings. There are several spirits that are said to prowl Bonnie Springs Ranch within the replica old-timey schoolhouse, said to roam the ghost of a little girl who will skip about laughing and sometimes ride the little merry-go-round outside. The ranch's wax museum is also said to be haunted, with the figures said to sometimes inexplicably change positions or move about on their own, or even appear to be breathing. There's also the ghost of a grumpy old man who pops up from time to time all over the ranch to tell people to leave him alone or go away. And the replica opera house supposedly has a sinister and menacing shadow figure that follows people around and swears in the EVP recordings. Such phenomena were long reported by visitors to the area, But unfortunately, Bonnie Springs Ranch was sold and closed down in 2019, left abandoned to the elements, with only its ghosts left to wonder about it. This next ranch would be the precursor to Skinwalker Ranch. The story's not very well known, but it is now at one of the top portions of my research. This intensely haunted ranch in Nevada is owned by none other than Thomas Bigelow, also owner of the infamous Skinwalker Ranch in Utah. This lesser-known ranch is called the Mount Wilson Ranch. It's located in the region known as Skulmarm Basin in Nevada. The ranch is supposedly ground zero for all manner of high strangeness, to include UFOs, ghostly phenomena, strange bouts of missing time, and others. Much of it is covered in Jacques Vallée's book, Forbidden Science, Volume 4, in which he describes the ranch as follows. We reached the place mid-morning. The first thing we saw was a row of wooden western buildings that reminded me of Dodge City, the one in the movies, with peeling paint on their tall fronts. The balusters along the porch-like sidewalks seemed to herald the arrival of tired cowboys on their tall horses. One of the main ghosts said to prowl about in this ranch is that of a tall Native American. And there is intense poltergeist activity everywhere on the ranch, to the point that it is a popular destination for ghost hunters. Most notably, the TV show Ghost Adventures with the host Zach Bagans, who did an investigation there. And they supposedly had all manner of strange incidents during their stay. Besides sighting strange lights in the sky over the nearby mountain, the crew also had other experiences, such as numerous equipment malfunctions and battery drains, hearing strange noises, such as growls, whispers, and rumblings. Sightings of various anomalous things, including shadowy apparitions, orbs, and moving objects, and the sudden appearance of the aroma of coffee. In addition to this, the crew claimed to have been actually physically accosted by the mysterious forces there, such as Zach feeling a pain in his groin, crew members feeling inexplicably ill, and taps or pushes by unseen hands. It is hard to know exactly what is going on at Mount Wilson Ranch, or why it should have so much strangeness going on, but it seems to be very potently haunted. As a side note from this article, I have recently found out that some of the characters in the stories that you have been listening to from the CIA and the mind control and the psyops, the use of psychics, was recently uncovered, and I have now been made aware that Robert Bigelow, Jacques Vallée, Ingo Swann, and Hal Putoff all went to this ranch for a matter of years, visiting on and off, trying to communicate with extraterrestrial forces by the means of remote viewing. Now, understand that when you go to using forces that, once again, are forbidden in the Bible, You open up doorways. You open up a path to another side that you don't see, you don't feel, but can very much affect you. I believe maybe that is one of the many different reasons why the Mount Wilson Ranch is so inexplicably haunted. Now, this word haunted, I think, is sometimes thrown around too much for a stronghold. You always hear of people wishing to pierce the veil and find out what is on the other side. Very rarely do you hear of Christians going and trying to control this place, trying to rid this area of whatever it is that is controlling it and haunting it. Sometimes it makes me wonder, are places like Skinwalker Ranch and Mount Wilson Ranch, should this land be tread upon by those of the faith in Christ? Should we try to go there and cast whatever devils are there out, bless it, anoint it with oil, claim it in the name of Christ? Or should it just be one of those very wise cautionary tales that are fun to listen to, but dangerous to experience? There are many people who are willing to risk it all to go and experience the paranormal. But like Zach Bagans and his crew from Ghost Adventures and their failure to tell you, many times you can take home tormenting spirits. The depression, the anxiety, the rate of suicide for people who visit these types of strongholds is not very well documented. It's not very well discussed. Because, once again, these places want to be inviting to you. They want you to visit. They need your presence. When Christ cast a legion of demons out of a man, the demons said, "Let us at least go into the swine." Jesus said, "Go." The swine ran over to the cliff and dived off, drowning themselves. The pigs knew better. But yet men don't. I think it's okay. I think it is properly okay to say that there are just some places you should not go to. You know, when we were all stupid kids, we all had that adventurous side of us. Go to the Haunted Bridge. Go to Devil's Fork Road. Go do this. Go snipe hunting. Go walk around in the woods in the dark. But every time you went to one of these places, these forbidden places that your parents sometimes didn't always tell you why, but always told you, don't go there, did you not feel something following you? Did you not feel something looking at you beyond the shadows? I presume that when you feel that you're being watched, you might as well just assume that you are. I've been in those places. I have willfully traveled thousands of acres into the woods just to test my own manhood and my own courage. Only to find myself running frantically. Only by the moonlight and by the dim glow of a flashlight, back to my four-wheeler, and back to the trail, and the hell out of the woods. There are some places you just should not go. Lastly, We have the ominous tale of what is called the 101 Ranch, located in Poncoa City in the northern part of the state of Oklahoma. It was originally constructed by the Miller family in 1893 during the oil boom, and would go on to become one of the largest working ranches in the entire country. It was also known for its massive traveling Wild West show, which featured all manner of rodeo acts and the talents of such well-known performers of the day as Will Rogers, Pawnee Bill, and Bill Pickett. The ranch became a cowboy getaway and a base of operations for the show and a profitable empire. And things were very good for a while, until the darkness came for them. Beginning from the early 1900s, a series of accidents and tragedies seemed to target the ranch and its owners. In quick succession, two of the three Miller brothers would die off, with one killed by carbon monoxide poisoning and another in a car accident. The third and youngest brother, George Miller, tried to run the family business on his own, but it was too massive for him to handle. With the coming of the Great Depression, the Miller family and their 101 ranch began to groan under the weight of their woes, financially crumbling to send the whole operation toppling down. The land was sold off, the buildings abandoned, and the ranch would become nothing but feral, scrub-choked badlands with nothing but the ruins of some buildings and rusted silos to show that this once burgeoning enterprise had even existed at all. It is perhaps no surprise that the ranch has been said to be haunted to this very day, with the Miller brothers still lurking about and the sound of laughter echoing throughout the night and other less definable specters darting amongst the tumbleweeds and the ruins of what once was. What keeps these ghastly forces tied to these places out in the middle of nowhere? Who are these ghosts, and what do they want? Why should they remain left behind? Are these past times imprinted onto the fabric of these places like film on a camera? Are they the spirits of the dead, forever tethered to these locations? And if so, do they even know they're dead? There are no real answers at the moment, and the spooky tales of these remote ranches, they merely add to the lore of the ghostly haunted places of the world. I would like to add that should you choose to visit these locations, go with caution. I would tell the average traveler to pray about it. And if you don't have a good reason to be there, don't go. I myself, I feel the pull to Skinwalker Ranch. I've read the book numerous times. I've watched the TV shows that appear on the History Channel. And I feel the force of that ranch calling out to me at times. I've had dreams about it, but I know damn well I cannot magnify Christ in the possessed hell land that is Skinwalker Ranch. So I do not throw caution to the wind anymore. I don't go walking into the woods at night looking for whatever is lurking there. I walk cautiously, and still, even on my own land, we experience things that we cannot explain. Even on our own small little farm, we've had a cattle mutilation. Numerous people have seen orbs. My children, my wife's grandmother, have all seen the openings of portals within the home, within this very room that I am recording this podcast in. I myself have seen the ghastly figure of a hand appear right in the closet that I'm staring at right now. Doesn't help that I'm sitting in this home alone. But one of the things that we've had a problem with here is hearing the faint cries of a child when there's no children in the home. The other one is the mysterious voice on the wind. My children have told me numerous times, "Daddy, did you call me?" And I would be inside cooking or doing whatever I'm doing, and I would tell them, "No, baby, I didn't call you." "Well, I heard you calling me outside." A feeling, a swelling of intensity, spirals throughout my heart, knowing that something is tempting my children. If you experience stuff like this, and trust me, there's more than just what I've experienced or what I've told you, one of the first things I would tell you to do is to try and sit down and pray. Anoint yourself in your home. Cover your home and your family under the blood of Christ. And if there's something in your home that's not supposed to be there, get it out. My wife and I have spent years of going through things that are still worldly, that we have possession of, from music, to videos, DVDs, objects. I've shared this experience before, but in law enforcement, in the military, we sometimes take war trophies from very traumatic things that we've been in. One of the things that I took a war trophy from was back in 2018 when the domestic terrorist group Antifa, a very well known for satanic occult, took over the Immigration and Customs building on McAdam Street in Portland, Oregon. They laid siege to that building and we laid siege to them back. Eventually winning the war, and as they were pushed off the land, they left behind various items, mainly trash, used needles, broken pipes that they were smoking crystal meth in, and I found a flag. And this black flag, crudely painted, was something that I was going to take as a war trophy. I bring it back home. I showed it in the office with all the guys. Everybody had something. We either had t-shirts that said "Cops Go Home" or "Die Pigs," or we had the little makeshift plastic trash can shields. We would set them up in our offices for everyone to see. And I took this flag home with me, and the moment it came home with me, problems just started to occur. To one night, I decided there is something cursed. I grabbed that flag the next morning, about 4 in the morning, as I'm getting ready for work, and I take it outside and I begin to burn it. And as it begins to burn, a whistling-like scream starts to project itself from the fire. I'm not an over-exaggerator. I don't believe in many of the phenomena that others will believe in. I'm a hard case to sell, especially in 2018. But as I'm burning that flag, I heard a very familiar sound. If you've never heard the sound of someone screaming, then, well, let's just say the movies don't get it right. And that's the sound that that flag made as it burned. And then just as strangely, as the fire rised and the scream got louder, the fire stopped. The scream died out. And that's when I looked down and I saw that it had barely even been charred. I thought to myself, oh no, this will not do. So I go and grab some leftover motor oil and whatever else that I thought could make this sucker burn. And I set it back on fire and I added gasoline until there was nothing left but ashes. And then I piled all the ashes together and I set it on fire one last time. Let my tale be cautionary to you. I still think that there are places that many people go to visit from their tourism. And they'll grab things that are charged objects, like what I had. If you're having problems in your home, if you're hearing creepy things going on, that's one of the first things I would go for, ladies and gentlemen. Get that stuff out of your home. Destroy it. That's all I got for you right now. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to donate to the show, you can go to the AmericanVindictiveShow.com. Go to the donation section. There's multiple ways to donate. There's also a Give, Send, Go that's on the website. You can also send any checks or cash or money order or however it is that you want to help support the show to the P.O. Box. I do thank everyone who helps support me. Lastly, I want to leave you with this. I have now received a second strike on YouTube. It's actually a third strike within a week and a half. I'm not allowed to post anything for 2 weeks, and I am willing to bet that within 2 weeks, they're going to hit me with the third strike, and your favorite show will no longer be on YouTube. You will be able to find me on Rumble. You will be able to find this show on the gsradio.net archives. You will be able to find this show on KYH 540 AM radio. That's the terrestrial radio station. You can actually listen to it from 4 to 5 p.m. Mountain Time. This show is also on Heroes Nation. Now, the Heroes Nation app is the official backup for the American Vindictive Show. And as much as I like Rumble, Rumble seems to be just a place where people aren't hanging out. So if you want to help support me, if you like what you hear, please leave the comments in the comment sections on whatever platform allows that. Send this information out to people and pray for the show, because we are definitely over the target and under attack. As our Lord said, they hated me first, and they're going to hate you as well. They hate this show, and I haven't even begun to take the gloves off yet. I do this for all of you who are listening. I do this for all the law enforcement officers who don't have a voice to speak out without retribution from your agency. I do this for all the parents who are tired of the psychological trauma that's being done to their children in schools. I do this for all those men and women who don't have the time, the luxury, or the capability to speak out against the evils of this world. And our time that we have left, may you bless one another and be blessed by our Lord. Magnify Jesus Christ in everything that you do. And take caution. The enemy is out there. Stay frosty.
You can find this show on the Heroes Nation app. Heroes Nation is the Heroes Nation app you can download in the App Store. It's up and coming. They got a lot of cool information on there. That is the main backup site so far for the American Vindictive Show. We'll also have some stuff on there that won't be on YouTube. It won't be on Rumble. It'll either be only on the GSRadio.net, who is the host of the American Vindictive Show, or it will only be an exclusive for Heroes Nation. And with that, I mean, you know, stuff that we're doing with the cave exploration, with the archaeological stuff. I'm going to start getting into a lot of paranormal talks and, you know, coming at that from my law enforcement and Christian perspective, and be having guests on, and that will be exclusive to Heroes Nation. So make sure that you give them some love. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for supporting me. God bless you, and have a good day.
Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping, whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation. That is the meal that I stick with, and you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Rekker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Rekker5, mountain-state-survival.com. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.